Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. And now joining us on the Kim Crawford Wines guest line, an old, old friend, the senior NBA writer for The Undefeated, Mr. Mark Spears. Mark, how are you?
Man, am I talking to the horse? Wow, this is a pleasure.
Just like it was a pleasure talking to me when I coached the Nuggets. You really enjoyed that, didn't you?
I did. I learned a lot.
Hey, Mark, no,
I'm being really serious, man. Me and Dan, I'll say this, in the beginning, I was this young pup trying to make it. Dan was this young coach. I mean, this hard, tough coach. And he made me a better journalist. So I always got love for you, Dan.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you very much, Mark.
Hey, Mark, I've got to ask you, did he ever give you anything, any volume quotes that you could use, or was it like pulling teeth?
Oh, man, he had one of his many quotes. He said about Mamadou Ndiaye, he said, "Nobody blocks your shot like your mama do." Quote Dan is only one, but the quote was better than the player.
that's for sure. Hey, Mark, I really enjoyed your column talking about the success of the black coaches in the NBA. I believe this is the first time in the conference finals that three of the four coaches are African American.
Yes, sir.
And you also talked about the job openings and the people that could be hired. Who's a couple of names that you're certain will fill some of these vacancies?
Well, one, Dan, that you're real familiar with, Chauncey Billups. I think he's a very hot name. And you got him young in his career, but I think he – perhaps you did see the basketball IQ at that time.
No, I saw nothing.
But you had him for like 2 months?
Yeah.
When he was 20 years old?
Yeah.
So you didn't get the 2004 MVP, Chauncey Billups, for
no,
sure.
No, that's for sure.
You know, I definitely keep an eye on him. I think Charles Lee from Milwaukee seems to be a hot name. Kind of have a feeling like Jacques Vaughn has a real good shot at the New Orleans job, as does Charles Lee. Also, you know, Jason Kidd, and keep an eye on him in Dallas. But I'm hoping that Jamal Mosley, and Dan, you know him, he certainly has paid his dues, a lot of dues, and
yep.
Hopefully he'll get his chance. And, you know, those are some of the hot names.
Well, help us with the Lee fellow at Milwaukee. Not familiar. Most of those names I'm pretty familiar with and in passing or in depth, but that one, you got me. Tell me about him.
Young coach. He actually was very impressive to the Pelicans when he interviewed when the job was open last time. So he's had a few interviews. And Dan, you know this, like with Milwaukee went from doom to success, and I think it helps those coaches.
Right.
Coaches.
Yep.
And so, but I'm also hearing in New Orleans that, and Dan, I'd love to hear what you think about this. When you make a hire with a young coach, I think it could be hard to give him an opportunity to be a coach of a team that's ready to win right now or win big right now. And I think that Steve Nash, the thing that helped him dramatically was, I mean, look at his staff, man. He has Mike D'Antoni on his staff, Jacques Vaughn. I mean, Udoka, who's another really, really hot name right now in the coaching world. Like, it's like he's got this restaurant and got three great chefs to help him cook a meal, even though he's just learning how to cook.
Yeah, I think one lesson that I learned, Mark, is it's important those assistant coaches are so important. And, you know, back in the day, we used to all just hire our buddies to be assistant coaches. And these kids today, these coaches today, are smart enough to hire people that can really help them get the job done, like Steve did in Brooklyn.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I know locally, with your Indiana Pacers. Do you guys care about the Pacers in Louisville?
Oh, Mark, hold on now. Mark, you know, our background's the ABA, and you know, I pull for the Pacers, and Issel gives me like the Charlie Manson look when I bring up the Pacers. He can't stand the Pacers.
And, Mark,
why I asked that question.
They beat us. They beat us like three straight years, kept us from winning the ABA championship. I find it real hard to pull for the Pacers.
No, I get it. Yeah, y'all need basketball back there, man.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. That.
I mean, I know I'm changing the subject, but I'm sure that's a hot topic there. I really think that Seattle, it's done, and it's the other one goes to whoever could give the best, you know, best fight to show they deserve it. And I think Louisville should be a great choice for it. I know people assume Vegas. I think Vegas works for football because the check doesn't matter in terms of everybody gets the same huge TV check. It's not a local TV thing. But in the NBA, it's not like that. I just think that when you think basketball, you think of Kentucky, and it's the same that the NBA is not there. I worked in – Dan, I don't even know if you remember. I worked in Louisville for 2 years. So I know what basketball is there. So right. I'm hoping that Louisville gets that opportunity.
Well, we're working. I don't know if you know this, Mark, but I'm associated with an organization called NBA to Lou. Check out our website. But we're working awful hard. We're working awful hard. Now, explain to for our listeners that might not know this. Explain the undefeated platform and where that fits in the rest of ESPN.
Well, the Undefeated started 5 years ago. It's an ESPN. It's under the ESPN umbrella, but it's basically theundefeated.com. It's a website about race and culture and sports. And so a lot of what we write about is, race-related. And sometimes you're going to get stories that, you know, are going to make you think or make you mad or make you cry. It's a lot about what's going on off the field and what the players are going through and their personal battles and triumphs. And I don't think you have to be a person of color to enjoy the site. Like, it should warm my heart, Dan, that you read the story and found it real interesting, you know. So I think that it's certainly a site that everybody should read and get behind. And there's just a lot of education that comes with the site where, you know, I think a lot of times people are product of their environments. If you don't grow up in a community where there are other, you know, nationalities and there's not people that, you know, where you live, everybody just looks at you, sometimes you could get closed off into what the rest of the world looks like. And that's not always racist. That's just you're a part of your environment. So I think that when you read the website like the Undefeated, it certainly could educate you on perhaps things that you don't know about or don't understand. You know, oftentimes if if it ain't happening in our house, we don't understand and we don't get it. But I think the undefeated explains a lot of that and tells some great stories of triumph.
Mark, I've got I want to go to a little bit of a different direction, but I think you can you touched on this. What about the mental health side for the athletes in today's world? We're starting to read more and more about it. Can you fill in some blanks? Give us a little background information, what you guys have found. I'm sure you've looked at it closely.
In terms of injuries this season? Or
no, in terms of the mental health. You know, the guys, the pressure the things that go with being a professional athlete.
Well, you know, the one thing that they're doing is, which is so much different than dance time, and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, like I do remember most teams 15 years ago or even probably even 10 years ago didn't have somebody that player could go to at the team. You know, typically they would have to go through the Players Association and say, hey, I need help with this. But a lot of times now, the teams have somebody on staff that can quietly, you know, help players out with mental health, or not even just the players. It could be the coaching staff or the entire staff. And it's interesting because, you know, It used to be taboo, especially for a lot of black players to, like, go talk to somebody about their life and what's going on and stuff like that. Or, you know, how can I perform better? How can I deal with coach is trying to tell me better? But, you know, I think now most teams, even though they kind of keep it quiet for understandable reasons, I think most of the teams certainly have somebody that the players can go to, and it's all confidential. So, I mean, there's so much more to make a team better, to help the players off the floor now than a Dan Issel coach team ever got.
And believe me, they needed all the help they could get. Hey, Mark, you just touched on it, and I want to ask your opinion. The Brooklyn Nets were arguably the best team in the league this year, and because...
No, Dad.
Yeah.
Let's take out arguably.
But of course they're home now because of injuries to Harden and Irving, and Kawhi Leonard I saw is out of game number two tonight with the Suns. Do you have an opinion on what's causing all these injuries?
Well, I mean, obviously LeBron James, that is his feelings about it. I don't know that I totally agree, because for every team it was different. I mean, think about there was eight teams that didn't go to the bubble. So for those eight teams that didn't go to the bubble, you know, their season was over like March 11th, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got rest, right? You know, and then if your team didn't make it to the playoffs in the bubble, then you were done in August. And so, I mean, most of the teams didn't get past, you know, get into September, really. So I really think there are only four teams. That means, obviously, LeBron's Lakers, the Heat, the Celtics, and trying to think of the Nuggets.
Yeah,
that really had that 73-day. Like, when you hear that number, all that, they're off 73 days. It only applies to four teams. So, I know they were playing more games in a shortened amount of time. But, I mean, Dan, you know, it's a business. They weren't giving up Christmas, man. Like, that's just too much money.
No.
Now, we can argue about the All-Star game, for sure. And, you know, I hear that Turner Sports basically is like, look, this is our event, and if you don't let us have this event, then we could open up the collective bargaining agreement. And under the, you know, state of the world right now, do you really want to open up the CBA and start over with that, with all the money you're making on TV? I'm sure Adam Silver was like, okay, so when is this game and where? Oh, it's in Atlanta. You know, so that's that part that the guys don't talk about, or LeBron doesn't talk about. Like, LeBron was, I was told, was okay with the start at the beginning. they had to make up money. You had to keep the lights on the league on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I know there's been a lot of injuries, but how can you really say that that's why, you know? How could you determine that? Maybe in some cases, but with, you know, Kyrie's injury, it was a freak injury. Chris Paul being out now, that's COVID-related, you know? So I think it's easy to just say that it was a short layoff, but why don't we do a graphic to tell you how much time every team actually got off? And you can't say that about everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. Before we let you go, of the four teams that are left, who's your favorite? Who do you think will win the championship now?
Well, after I said that soliloquy, assuming nobody else gets hurt, assuming Chris Paul gets back, I'm starting to feel some optimism about game two. I got Bucks playing the Suns and the Bucks, even though Kareem said they weren't going to win, winning their first title since 1973. Which certainly, I mean, Dan, the games here are, I'm in Phoenix right now, absolutely bonkers. They're absolutely crazy. It's good to be back in that environment. But I think if, assuming Chris Paul gets back, assuming Kawhi Leonard doesn't come back, if everything stays the same, I like the Bucks to win.
Mark, how about the Olympic team as we let you go? The Olympic team starting to shape up a little bit with people declining or accepting. Who do you think's next to accept?
With USA, I mean, they got so many great guys to pick. It's not like most countries, like, oh, Luka's not playing? We're in trouble. You know what I mean? USA's problem has always been chemistry. Can we get chemistry in this short time? I like the makeup of the guys that are on the team, you know, from what I've heard so far, guys like Durant, which who I'm shocked is playing, Harden, who I'm shocked is playing. Draymond is certainly going to make sure the mentality is good. You know, Chris Paul still might end up playing on the team. Devin Booker is supposed to play. They got a great team. Pop's a great coach, no-nonsense coach, but he knows how to, like, lighten the mood where it needs to be lightened. They're going to play, I believe, 6 to 7 games in Vegas, which I expect Dan to be out there at some point at a practice. But, I think they'll be fine. They'll be fine. I'd be stunned if they don't bring back the gold for sure.
Yeah. Mark, we really appreciate your time. If you're in Phoenix, you had to get up early this morning.
I'm getting older, Dan. I get up early now.
I remember when you used to come to those 11 o'clock practices still yawning.
Oh, yeah. Dan, you know what? I missed that, man. I haven't seen the practice since like 2007.
Oh man.
They stopped letting us in there a long time ago. But you know what was great about the practices? And I know you guys are running out of time. It taught the media, one, what the coach was trying to do. Then you could really see who was good and who wasn't. And understand why this guy wasn't playing. You know what I mean? Like, it all made sense to me when you watch practice. But I don't even think they really practice anymore.
It's load management, Mark. Load management.
Yeah, they just come in there, have a really healthy breakfast because they got somebody cooking for them that's really amazing. And then, and then they go up there. They might, you know, do some shooting drills. And thanks for coming.
Yeah.
So there's no practice to watch.
Mark, enjoy the game tonight. We really appreciate your time. We hope you'll come back soon.
Hey, Coach. Love you, man.
Thanks.
Always.
Thanks, Mark.
Know that.
You're the best.
Coach, you need me to come on, call me.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Good stuff.
Let me tell you something about Mark. He is, I mean, you know, you got Wojo or whatever his name is on ESPN, supposed to be the NBA insider. There is nobody who knows more people and knows more about what's going on in the NBA than Mark Spears. He just, you could hear it. He's got that infectious personality, and you know, he's easy to talk to, and these players love him. Most coaches love him, and he gets all kinds of inside stuff.
He must be a fair guy to deal with as a from a coach and a player. He must be a guy you can trust, you think is fair.
Yeah, we had some headbutts early. I mean, I was brand new at coaching.
You weren't stubborn at all, were you?
Oh, no, not okay. at all. Okay. You know, I was brand new at coaching. He was fairly new at writing, although I did remember that he'd spent a couple years here in Louisville. He was fair. I mean, he didn't write stuff that you always appreciated, but he was right on the money. So, yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy.
We didn't have a chance to ask him, but I've got to bring this out. I've got to see what your thoughts are. We all know the situation in Philly where Simmons has become a punchline. Everyone's asking the questions, do they trade him? Does he have any value? Can they trade him? Yada, 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 right? That game was last weekend. Today is Wednesday. Already the Philadelphia 76ers have decided that they're going to put a upfront defense on this whole situation.
Yeah.
They now have figured out what's wrong with Ben Simmons' shot, and they have a plan to change it in 3 days.
Do you have the buzzer? Today is Tuesday.
Tuesday, whatever the day is. You know, I'm so amazed at their ability to see through what was wrong with Ben Simmons.
You're 100% on the money. Here's what happened. After the game, they asked Doc about, was he the point guard that could take him to the championship? And I think quoting him correctly, his answer was, I'm not sure. Well, in the meantime, somebody got to Doc and said, Doc, if we have any chance in the whole wide world of getting rid of this guy, you got to say he can take us to a championship.
The promised land, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And so you're right. 24 hours later, this guy is, I mean, he's Doc's man. We're going forward with Ben Simmons. We've got a plan to teach him how to shoot free throws, and we've got a plan that he'll really control the basketball. He won't give it up the second he touches it. And you're absolutely right, Michael. It's all because we got to get rid of this guy.
PR, baby, PR. I'll tell you the strangest thing I read, Dan, about this whole thing, this issue we're talking about on a Tuesday, not a Wednesday. Okay. Tomorrow we'll talk about it again. They want him to change shooting hands. The guy's a left-hander.
And they want him to shoot right-handed?
Yeah.
You know what that is? It couldn't be any worse.
I guess so, but the daggone guy's been in the league 3 or 4 years. I mean.
And now they're going to change shooting hands.
The only thing I can say is, look, this kid either doesn't want to get better because he's happy with his status in life.
Right.
He's got a lot of money, et cetera. Or he's not, or he may want to, but he's not a good listener. He needs to talk less and listen more if he wants to change this.
Yeah.
Or listen, is it going to be brutal next year, him going through that league with the fans? I mean, my goodness.
Oh, it's going to be awful. Does he, Crean, does he have dual citizenship? Because I saw something yesterday that said that he was not going to play in the Olympics.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it said Australia was supposed to start practice pretty soon. So it made it sound
yes,
to
he
me.
Yes, he is a dual citizen of Australia.
Australia,
and the US.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense then, because right after they said he wasn't going to play in the Olympics, they said Australia starts practice next week. So now that all makes sense. But I would think Australia doesn't even want him.
Well, that's cold, man. That's cold. Well, here's my thought. See what you think on the Olympics. He would have been invited. There's no question. He's an all-star, one of the top defenders in the league. And no matter how he played late, I mean, those are his credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah. Now they're going to put him through all this training, all this coaching, all this psychological warfare to get his mind right.
He doesn't have enough time to try out for the Olympics? Come on, please. Please, give me a break. Now, what that tells me is the NBA and the people that advise Simmons say, uh-oh, we don't want to be seen anymore. We don't trust the platform right. we're going to put you on, right. so we're not going to put you out there, right? Do I read that right?
I would guess, and I don't know Ben Simmons at all.
Right, I don't either.
But I would guess that right now Ben Simmons doesn't want to be any place or be seen any place for the next 2 or 3 months. I think he's had enough exposure. He's had enough people talking about him. And you said something, I can't remember if you said it on the air or off the air, but you think that there might have been a problem in the 76er locker room, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you got a starting point guard who can't shoot and gives the ball up as quick as he can so he doesn't get fouled, you have to start looking around the locker room and saying, don't we have a better option here?
You got to have some grown-ups in the locker room. I don't know how many grown-ups they have in that locker room. You know that. You coach, you play. You got to have some grown-ups in the locker room. Yeah, you can have some kicks and grins, but you got to have some grown-ups. But the other thing is, I think Simmons, he's a point guard, he's not, because he scores best when he runs in transition, when he can get put back. So he's a very good rebounder. You're not going to let him play out on the floor so because he's not effective. It's not because you don't like him.
Right.
Okay, so get him in transition. Get him around the hoop for putbacks. That's not a point guard's job. I know he can pass. Paul Pressey, we talked about this before with Donnie Nelson. He was the first point forward. The guy couldn't shoot much either, but he found a way. Now, he was only 6'5", but it was a little different. But Nelson found a way to make that work, and he became what's now called a point forward. He was the first one. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they used him right. I think the name point guard is not fitting for him because it doesn't put him in a situation where he scores where he can score. I'm okay with him handling the ball, but not out on the floor consistently. He's got to run the floor, man. He's got to get out and get some easy hoops. Of course, you can say, well, why does he want to do that? Because if he gets fouled, he doesn't make foul shots, right?
Well, maybe that's their plan. Maybe that's the plan that the 76ers came up with in 24 hours to make sure that he's a point guard that can win a championship for them in Philadelphia.
What genius do you think figured that out, Dan Issel?
As soon as they said, we want to trade him, say as many positive things about him as you can.
All right, well, let's take another break. This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk presented and owned by Mr. Issel and Mr. Pratt.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome back for the fourth half hour of the day, the second half hour of the second hour. We've had Mark Spears talking NBA basketball. That was great. And then we've just shared a bunch of nonsense about this whole sporting world. But what would you have in your dream house? The financing may not be as glamorous as a butler's pantry, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home. They'll take care of the rest. NMLS 8259, equal housing lender, and I hit it out of the park, didn't I, Dan?
That might have been the best one yet.
Well, I'm coachable, man. You know, Mark Spears talked about you as coach, you know. I'm coachable. I can handle that.
That was unbelievable. That was a fine couple of minutes. Grossman nailed the SportsCenter update. You nailed the Stockton Mortgage read.
We're on a roll today.
Absolutely.
And now on the text line, well, what? Any college athlete, are college athletes workers or students? Fair question.
Yeah, and I guess I will defer to the Supreme Court, who yesterday ruled that they're workers.
Yeah,
they're workers.
It's funny that everybody made a big deal of that. We talked about it when it hit. Everybody go, oh, the sky is falling, the Chicken Little thing. All it really did was the name, image, and likeness has been beating on college sports. Have been beating on it. They won't open it. What this did was open it just a little bit, and you know what's coming next. What's coming next is the ability to actually make money. What that did yesterday was allow them to receive some additional benefits, okay, in graduate school, pay for going to Europe on a academic situation. All those things happened, and some of them, some schools already do. Maybe increase the money allowed, cost of attendance. But when the door opens wide open, Dan, when the door opens wide, man, I mean, I've been reading online, I don't know if you have, about guys in groups that are setting up, and there are groups setting up to manage these young fellas.
Absolutely.
It's makes a cottage sense. Industry now.
Absolutely. And you know what changed it to the texter? What changed it from being students to being workers is the money.
Nobody
back when we played, nobody would say, well, you know, the NCAA and the schools are making millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. These kids ought to be getting some of it, because the schools weren't making that much off of it. But now in today's world, I mean, you're talking about billions with a B, billions of dollars. And these kids can't have their folks come to road games. I mean, it's just because the money has gotten so big, it just doesn't make sense anymore for these kids not to get some benefits.
And pretty much whenever you hear people talk on the side of we need name, image, and likeness, we're in support of name, image, and likeness, what do they always refer to? Well, these young people, male and female, they don't make anything, and these college administrators, the NCAA, yeah, the coaches are making millions and millions and millions off of them. They never talk about supporters of this, and they never talk about how much money goes to the non-revenue sports that need support financially. Okay, that's never brought up of the good piece of where this money goes. It's always brought up to administrators, NCAA, commissioners, and coaches, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to be the bone. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying what I keep hearing repeated seems to be the bone of contention.
So are you in favor of name, image?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I am too. Because I don't think kids are going to be making millions of dollars. Maybe they will. I don't know. But I think there are some things that these kids ought to be supported in that make a lot of sense. The only thing I've said from the very beginning is for this to be fair, the rules have to be the same across the board. They have to be the same for a school in California, as a school in Florida, as a school in Connecticut. The rules have to be the same, because you can't let this become a recruiting advantage for different schools in different parts of the country.
I would agree with you 100%, but unfortunately, that's going to happen. Because, first of all, only six states have signed on to make their law, and every state is a little bit different. I believe it's six or seven, which comes into effect July 1.
Right.
The rest of the states either are dragging their feet
or just not wanting to do anything, or waiting for the NCAA, who says they're waiting for the federal government, you know? I mean, it's just they all should be in on this.
Yeah.
And I think what happened yesterday in the Supreme Court shows you that they all should have been in it 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
They had opportunity, right?
They've had opportunities for decades, and they just never did anything.
And I think that now, even if your state, if there is no federal rule, law, which there isn't, if your state doesn't pass this, I still think kids will start doing it.
Yeah, because there's nothing in state's legislature that says it's illegal. They're just set to profit off name, image, and likeness. Basically, they're having to say it's illegal to bar the kids from making money off their
name.
Right.
And so even if your state doesn't have a law that says you can do it, these kids are going to do it.
Yeah,
because what are they going to do?
Yeah, a prime example is Keechel Clark, the University of Louisville safety, who just last week went out on Twitter and said, "Yo, this is happening soon. If anyone wants to profit off of, or anyone wants to partner with me and have me sponsor anything, direct message me on Twitter," type of deal. That's quite literally what he did. He's like, "This is coming, but start getting ready to take advantage of it."
He's not breaking a state law.
Right. No, they're going to say, "Sue me. Sue me." The Supreme Court just said I could do it. What are you going to do? Sue me?
I've got you. When you get some spare minutes, University of Kentucky has I wouldn't say employed, but they have partnered up with a company, INFLCR. And it's interesting. I went to their website, and it's too deep right now to explain over the next 15 or 20 minutes what they do. But they got started a while ago helping different endeavors find the right platform, the right presentation, the right way to go. So Kentucky has partnered with them to help their student athletes. And there's another group that also is part of an article I read. And there's a young fella, Jake Olson. And this is a quick story, but you'll love this one, Dan, because I know where your heart is. This guy is blind. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He hung around the UCLA program, or I'm sorry, Southern California program, when Pete Carroll was coaching. Pete Carroll took a liking to him, all right, and encouraged him to enroll at USC. And he enrolled under a scholarship for disabled athletes. Now, the guy's blind. Okay. He's a snapper. Okay.
A long snapper.
Yeah. And so, I mean, what a story that is, and it's on ESPN.com, and he ended up snapping for a field goal in a game that got out of control.
I think I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I think
I
did.
And
see
he's
that.
Got a roommate that helps him, so now they've started a company, an online platform to make it easier for companies, people or companies, to be put in contact with these student athletes. Okay, A, put them in contact. If you want a speaker, right, Crean? If you want a speaker, if you want somebody to sign autographs, whatever it may be.
Yep.
If you want somebody to promote your product, you can go through them, okay, to get to these athletes. And they've got some athletes already primed and ready to go. They also help them find ways, better ways to promote themselves, better ways to start these platforms that they may not have entirely developed. And he and his roommate have started that, and they've been at it. They set it up because they saw this coming.
Hmm.
Okay, and they've set it up because of that. And I thought it was really, really, really interesting that this guy, first of all, I mean, Pete Carroll kind of took him under his wing, a blind kid, and didn't know he was going to end up being a snapper on his team. And he ended up snapping for a field goal.
That's a very cool story. I wish him a lot of luck. And a lot of times, I mean, you know, some of these, like Facebook, wasn't Facebook started in a college dorm room? So you can, you know, with everything's possible with the social media. And I'm guessing that that's probably where their strong suit is going to be, setting up these platforms on social media.
And as I read it, they charged the companies, Crean Inc., who wants to get Joe Schmoke to advertise. They don't charge the player
toll.
They charge the person who is bringing the business
right.
to them,
yeah.
like a car dealership,
right.
like a speaking engagement. So if you're willing to pay $1,000, now you pay – it didn't say what. Let's say you pay $1,100
right.
and they get $100. That's how they monetize
yeah.
it. So
yeah.
the money is – and you might get a little less for speaking because whoever's hiring you has to add on that fee. But at least it's not coming directly out of the fee to the student athlete.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. That's terrific. I wish them all the luck. And being in California is a prime spot to be right
oh, yeah.
now with
oh,
all
yeah.
the schools there and the fact that they have already passed state laws that affect this. Good for them. Good for them.
Until we're getting toward the close, and I've got a shot I'm going to take at the close. Not at you. I wouldn't take a shot at you.
Oh, so it's at me.
I'm gonna not at Crean either. No. I got to tell a story. It's not a shot as we wrap this thing up.
Okay.
But saying that, a texter asked, not student athletes, but they're employees.
Yeah.
But if you classify them as employees, then you have to withhold. You have to do all those things that you do for a regular employee at the University of Kentucky, whether it be somebody working in the cafeteria
right.
or somebody.
But wouldn't it be more independent contractors?
Well, but in California and a couple other states, I know California. Well, the guy from Connecticut, the senator from Connecticut, was promoting that they are employees and they're paid a salary.
Oh, so the state gets their.
Sure.
Their kick out of it, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, I don't think an athletic department, what's that? That's just one more.
What if they got to the point where they started classifying their scholarship?
As
income. And you have to start paying state and federal taxes on your scholarship money.
Do you think the student athlete's going to pay that? No, the athletic department's going to have to trump up. They're going to have to pay it. Okay, the student athlete's not paying it. You know that.
Yeah, well, it'd be impossible in most cases.
Yeah. So you go to a private school where it's $50,000 a year. So you take that as ordinary income. And so now the athletic department's looking at this thing and saying, I got to pay half of this withholding. Okay, I got to pay some of this, all this withholding stuff and retirement, Social Security. And they go, wait a minute. Let's keep
Man,
them as
this
independent
is,
contractors.
This is going to open a whole box of problems.
You're exactly right.
Yeah,
and we've
yeah.
said before, we've talked about this, as much as we see this as something for the student athletes, that you're going to have to really understand, and I wish I knew what was going on in Indianapolis at the NCAA. I wish I knew. Because, as Crean said, they could have done this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We're talking
yeah.
about a year or two. Do they have a plan? Have they worked with these athletic departments to set up some way to monitor this? Okay.
And I think you already know the answer to that question.
I hope I'm wrong, Dan. I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong. Trust me, I hope I'm wrong, because it will be a mess.
Oh, yeah. I can see that coming right down Main Street.
So why doesn't the NCAA or whoever's representing them get out in front of this and say, okay, we're working on this. We're waiting for the federal government to pass a law or laws. But we're all set up. We're ready to manage this. Why don't they trumpet their ability to be set up? I mean, why is it so secretive?
Well, they've tried saying, we're waiting for the federal government, but – one, that's not really a smart thing to do, knowing how long things take with the federal government.
Right, right.
But two, the fact that this notion that you need federal government clearance to do this is just wrong.
Well, the reason
you can do whatever you want. They're hoping for some long shot miracle that the federal government would side with the NCAA is really what they're hoping for. But as we saw with the Supreme Court stuff yesterday, and everything else that comes out of everyone but the NCAA, no one. Who's going to side with the NCAA on this?
Well, it's because the NCAA does not have the manpower or the ability to
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, to institute some kind of program like this. Can you imagine the man hours that it would take to oversee a program like this? The NCAA, much like being able to police the schools as far as cheating. The NCAA has no shot at being able to accomplish that.
But some people will tell you it's a very bloated bureaucracy up there in Indianapolis, okay?
Yeah.
So if it's that bloated, then you're going to have people to be able to do this. And you may have to hire more, and you will have to hire more, no
sure.
question. But if the NCAA is so bloated, as some people say, there's people within the organization that could be challenged with this, could be charged with this. And I want to know if they're doing it. I want to know if they're preparing. Just like a coach, if you're coaching or I'm coaching and you're the athletic director, I'm the coach, you want to know whether I'm preparing. You're going to watch practice. You're going to talk to me. How do I prepare? What do I do in my scouting mm-hmm. reports? I mean, okay, but who's monitoring the NCAA to see if they're preparing?
Nobody. Nobody.
And why not, Mr. Issel?
Because they've set themselves up as king. Nobody you know, monitors the king. You know, the king calls the shots.
You know, Crean, I can't even argue with him today. He's so right with
yeah,
all.
Yeah, no, he's correct. He's spot on.
he is. I've got to give him his props. I got to give him a tip of the hat. Well, we talked as we wind this thing down.
Okay, who are you going after?
Javi Baez.
Oh, no. Not our man.
Your man.
Not our man,
Didn't
Javi.
Didn't Issel and I go after him enough already?
Okay. And tell the listeners who may have not been in the second hour, half hour of the first hour about your boy, Javi.
Yeah, well, Javi didn't remember how many outs there were. He was on first base, and there was one out, and Rizzo hit a routine fly ball to left field, which obviously was going to be caught, and Javi took off for third base. I mean, he rounded second. He was going to run to third and
he
then go into the dugout. And unfortunately, there was only one out. Rizzo's fly ball was two, and they threw the ball to first base, and Javi was out.
And now they're playing the game in Chicago.
Correct.
Beautiful ballpark. Sold out, right? I mean, the fan base, you two guys, love them. I mean, the fan base is terrific. It's a beautiful park. So you have no hindrance to you to understand how the game's played. Three outs, you're out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
all right.
Okay, I'll buy
so,
that.
I'm watching television, and they have a clip of a Little League baseball game. They're playing on dirt diamonds that I played on, that you played on. Dirt diamonds, a little grass in the outfield. And they're having a ball. You know, the bases are shorter. And
yeah,
and
60 feet instead of 90.
Yeah. So there's one down, and there's a runner at second. The batter pops one up to the first baseman, who backs up and drops the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So the runner's going from second. He's boogieing.
Right.
Okay. So the first baseman picks the ball up, touches first base, sees the man from second rounding third halfway into home, beats him to home plate, tags him out, inning over.
an unassisted double play on an error.
With a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
With a 10-year-old. How about that? And Javi doesn't know how many outs.
Well, maybe Javi needs to go back and play some Little League baseball.
Isn't that a beautiful story,
That's
though?
Great.
Oh,
That's
man.
Great.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Will you be here tomorrow?
I hope so. Tomorrow's Wednesday, right?
No, tomorrow's Thursday.
What about Friday? Maybe it's Friday.
Oh, you've been listening to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Stockton.com. We'll see you all tomorrow, everybody.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.